1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now I'm going to look specifically at verse 2. Verse 2 and the first phrase. It's just that's something I was thinking about. And it hit me in the middle of the night, and then another verse, and then went just kind of started to outline. So I thought, well, I'll run with that. So it's specifically stated in our text, in verse 1, that all the elders so written, the elders which are among you, whoever these elders are, wherever region they're in, I believe it's throughout Pontus, Galatia, capital C, Asia, and Bithynia is where he's writing to. This letter is going out to the churches, to the elders specifically. He states in chapter 5, I exhort, I'm also an elder, and I'm also a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and will be a partaker of that glory which shall be revealed. He specifically says to feed the flock of God. To feed the flock of God. Elders who are standing up before the congregation and have something prepared as the Lord has laid on their hearts, they are to feed. That word to feed means to tend to, like a shepherd, to tend. So whatever that means, and I was looking this up yesterday, and looking at all the commentaries, and they made a comment, it has everything to do with the ministry, everything that you could, you know, we could think of, that's to tend. We are to feed the church of Christ. But what are we to feed the church of Christ? It's feed the flock of God, which is among you. It says, don't, you know, taking the oversight. Don't do it from constraint. Don't do it from somebody saying you got to do it. I think you got gifts and this and that. So I'm kind of looking forward to you doing this. And some pastors have done this. They've assumed that because the person has either got up and preached or talked or something, that they thought, well, when I go, they'll be the next person. That person needs to be called of God. And not feel any constraint from someone else. But they ought to be willing. Not for filthy lucre. And we know that money does enter into a bunch of stuff. But be ready. Paul says, be ready to answer every man the reason of the hope that lies within you. Be ready. Have a ready mind. Don't be lords or ruling over God's heritage. But be examples. Be examples. Like we looked at the iron that did swim. They went to the prophet and they said, we want to, you know, we need to enlarge our, it was a school, I guess. It was a place for the prophets, a school for the prophets. And he didn't go into town and say, okay, you guys, you got to give yourself to the study of the word. So you stay there and don't do anything. No. They built it themselves, and they had help from the prophet, one of the other prophets. So they did this. Be examples. But what I want to specifically look at is feed the flock. Now, Peter's writing this, and you remember, turn to John 21. You remember, and I'm sure Peter, he never forgot this, Peter's exhortation, or Christ's exhortation to Peter. John chapter 21. Remember Christ's exhortation to Peter. Now Peter's exhortation to the elders in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. Verse 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, specifically to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he answered unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now that doesn't mean, and I don't believe it means, that you can't, you know, you can't be do other things. I mean, look at us. You have to do what you've got to do. But don't ever set aside study time, preaching the gospel. Don't ever set aside the most important thing. There's things that have to be done. We got to pay taxes. If we have to work, we got to work. We have to take care of our children. We got to do these things. But don't ever forget the most important thing is to hear the word of God, to sit at the feet of Christ. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Indeed, volumes could and have been written. What does it mean to feed Christ's people? It's the whole service of this ministry. Watch over them, know their state, administer the ordinances, visit the sick, comfort the mourners, weep with them that weep, pray for them, listen to them, encourage them in the ways of Christ, lead them, help them, preach peace to them. All these different things. All these different things. This is what John Gill said. They should be fed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. They are to be fed, not with every wind of doctrine, which blows upon the pride of human nature and swells men with vain conceits of themselves, nor with the chaff of human doctrines, nor with trifling and speculative notions. And that's what most preaching is today. Speculative notions. But feed them with knowledge and understanding of divine and evangelical truths, with the words of faith and sound doctrine, with the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the gospel of the grace of God, which contains milk for babes and meat for strong men, and with a crucified Christ himself, who is the bread of life, and whose flesh is meat indeed, and his blood is drink indeed, by directing them to his person, blood, and righteousness, to live by faith on, by preaching the doctrines of peace and pardon by his blood, atonement and satisfaction by his sacrifice, and justification by his righteousness, and complete salvation by his obedience in death. So I'd say most of what he's writing in there is the gospel. Feed them the truth. Feed them the truth. Now, I want to single out, which I think is perhaps a top responsibility, including in this phrase regarding feeding. Feed the flock of God. And I take my cue after I prepared most of the message, and I saw that and I printed that out, stated much better than I could state it. But particularly to feed. To feed is to teach. It's to preach. It's to live and rest and be sustained by the person and work of our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to specifically talk about. To feed the flock of God. All these other things, administering the ordinances, visiting the sick, comforting them that mourn, these are all part of feeding the flock. But I think specifically in that, a top priority, top responsibility, whatever you want to say, is to, in this book, feed the flock of God with the gospel, which is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good news. Feed the flock of God. This book is about him. Okay? There is much bad food, rotten food, and spoiled food being fed people in the name of truth. That's not what I'm talking about. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. He just got done saying, I'm an elder, I'm like you, I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. He specifically is speaking about that, the glory of Christ. And there's bad food, there's rotten food, there's death in the pot, like to borrow a phrase from the Old Testament. It's exactly right. People are standing up and wasting people's time talking about the environment, they're talking about the economy, they're talking about the government, they're talking about all these things, which is all under the sovereign control of the Lord Jesus Christ anyway. And if he wraps this thing up today or tomorrow, it's not going to matter what you thought about these essential issues, is what we think we would call them. They're not essentials. What think you of Christ? That's my responsibility. And whoever's up here preaching the word is to feed the flock of God. There's much lying. There's much false doctrine. There's watered down truth. And God in Christ does not use this. He cannot use it. He will not use it. For it does not bring glory and honor to his name. And anything that's got the sniff or the hint or a percentage, no matter how small it is, of human works, human merit, human righteousness, God's not going to use it. He's not going to use it. I am to feed you from the word of God. I am not to make up. I don't care if I'm not to preach to you what Dr. Gill thought about this passage. I'm not to preach to you what Hawker thought about this preaching. I'm to feed the flock of God, the word of God, the word of God. This is kind of an offshoot of last week's message. Nevertheless, at thy word. That's kind of what it's just been pressed upon my mind lately. The word of God. I am to feed you from the word of God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Why? Here's one reason why. Because it's a charge. It's a charge of healthy responsibility of every pastor who knows the truth is to preach from the word. Preach the word. Well, here's the reason. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, the first part. Every word of God is pure. I'm not pure. You don't listen to what I'm saying, and yet you listen to what I'm saying as it's communicated by the Holy Spirit. And if he's honored and glorified, then you listen to that. But we preach from the word of God. That's why it's pure. There's nothing in this world that's pure. Everything is tainted with sin. Even me, even as I speak. But if I'm speaking out of this book, every word of God is pure. That's right. That's what I'm supposed to feed the church of God. And what does it say in the scripture? Something about even if he that has those hopes makes himself pure. You're basically turning off all this stuff of the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and you're looking at the word and you're being transformed. Your mind is being renewed. That's feeding. From the word of God, because every word of God is pure. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. That's why I feed the flock of God. You don't have any hope in yourselves. He's our hope. He's our righteousness. He's our peace, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace comes from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't originate in man. He's the benefactor. He's, like we talked about, two covenants, one testament. He's the beneficiary. We're beneficiary. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Verse 4, the charge of the pastor in our text, feed the flock. The charge in verse 4 of 1 Timothy, don't give heed, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Well, there's a religion, the Mormonism, they'll have whole sessions on genealogies. It genders strife. Question, they're not talking anything about Christ. Genealogies. That's what we feed the church of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. He's still exhorting Timothy. Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We're to preach, take heed, we're to preach proper doctrine. We're to feed the flock, which is basically just teachings, doctrines is what it is. Psalms 19. Psalm chapter 19. The law of the Lord is, this is the word of God. Verse 7. Psalms 19, verse 7. Forward. The law of the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony. All these different phrases are used for feeding the flock the word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, altogether. More to be desired are they, that's these teachings, these commandments, these statutes, these judgments, it's the word of God, feeding the flock, all these things. They are more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You're feeding on the word of God? Am I feeding you the word of God? Moreover, by them, the things contained in this book, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. The truth. Like last week, we talked about, nevertheless at thy word, the truth is more to be desired than gold. Fine gold. It's sweeter than honey and honeycomb. It's, you feed the flock of God. We eat, we digest. It's amazing how we'll take care of these bodies that are going to rot and decay. We'll make sure we get in front of the mirror, we spend time in front of the mirror, looking, cleaning and doing all these different things. And we should, to some degree. We do way too much. We're so vain. But we'll make sure we give some place, or we'll do something to feed our bodies. But what about the Word of God? What about coming to hear the Word of God? It seems like almost anything. I don't know. I think I put it in an article. I think by Clay Curtis. Talks about people missing services and they just for anything, any reason. But how important is this book? It's perfect. Hearing the words converts the soul. The testimony is sure. It makes the simple wise. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. endures forever. They're true. That's why. That's why. Are we teaching our children the same thing? Are we passing this on? How important it is to hear, to read, to meditate on the Word of God. Because the Word, we know from John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm not going to waste your time by talking about the politics. I'm not going to waste your time talking about things that they are important. I'm not saying they're not important. But we'll leave here this morning, and we'll go about our business, and we'll encounter all these other things. But this is, Mary hath chosen the better thing. It's the Word. And I can't stress that. And it just seems to be laid on my heart to see this in this book. Feed the flock of God. I'm to take this seriously. I'm to take this seriously. Feeding the church of God regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him in His sovereign kingly character, knowing us and our vile, corrupt, and sinful character, knowing Christ in His substitutionary mediatorial perfections, the just for the unjust, the pure for the unpure, the glorious for the unglorious, the merciful to those who need mercy, are everything for nothings, a worthless lot. But that's why we need everything. This feeding is truly the only thing that will do sinners any good. I'm convinced of that. This is the only thing. Not church history. Not what Spurgeon thought about something. Not what Manton thought about something. And they're all men of God. And if they were alive today, I would fellowship with them. So that's why I always be careful. If Luke, I don't want to knock these old men. They have writings and they write stuff that there's no way I could write as well. And I think to myself, if they were alive today, would I fellowship with them? Yes. So I don't have any problems to read that. But I got problems with somebody who is so well read, and they don't know the scriptures. This is the Word of life. This is the Word of life. This feeding is truly the only thing that will do sinners any good, called sinners or not yet called sinners. So that's everybody. If you're a sinner and you're called and quickened and saved, this is what you want to hear. That's what I'm to feed you. And if you're not called, how are you going to get called? By me or by somebody. And it doesn't have to be necessarily from the pulpit. But that's what we're talking about in context, Peter. If you go out and the Lord lays on your heart, you see somebody, you start talking to them, that's just the verbal outspeakings. That's your preaching. You're preaching the truth. And whether you're called or not called yet, this is the only thing. And it is, okay, so I understand the gospel. I come, Lord, save me. I let the pastor know, and he baptized me. And now what are we going to talk about? Do you think we can, with these minds, we can ever exhaust the glory and splendor of our Lord Jesus Christ? There's so much about Him in the Old Testament that I haven't seen yet. We'll never exhaust Him. This feeding, it must be about Christ. Not traditions, not ceremonies, not what mama believes, not what you think about what the Scripture says, not what you even do. But it's what Christ has done for you. He must and He will have the preeminence in everything. I was listening to a message by David Pledger, and he was preaching a funeral, and somebody was in there. They came up to him afterward, and they said, "That's one thing I told the people that were sitting next to me, he said, you'll hear the gospel. He'll get to the gospel. And sure enough, that's what he did. You know, you say nice things about somebody, this and that. That's not any problem with that. But there, he's going to get to the gospel. And that's what we are to do. Feed the flock of God, which the scripture says, with food convenient. Isn't Christ convenient? Sure he is. He will have the preeminence. So may I set the table each week, and may each of you eat from this word of life. Turn to John chapter 6. What do you mean, eat of this word of life? What do you mean, eat? Yeah, I'll just read straight from the scriptures. This is Christ speaking, John chapter 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So this is what he's talking about. He's talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the phrasing gets a little bit different, but that's what he's talking about. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And that's the same thing. People who are eating, they're being fed junk, they're being fed lies, they're being fed air. That's like the manna. It's junk. It's not, you know, it's not the truth. And they're going to die. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And that bread I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, here they go, literal. They're taking exactly what he's saying, literal. They completely don't understand what he's talking about. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh of the Son of Man, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Verse 57. Notice those last two words. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me, because of me. That's grace. He's talking about a union. He's talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life. But he the example is eating. The example is feeding. That's why the pastors, elders, responsible elders, feed the church of God Christ. First and foremost. Christ, first and foremost. By me. He is our life, our hope, our peace. He dwells within his chosen people. He abides in his chosen people, and they must feed upon him publicly and privately. As important as public worship is, I'm not saying don't feed on him. Feed on him. You get this once. We're getting this twice a week, three times a week. Maybe. Publicly, privately. Feed on Christ. Feed on Christ. Matter of fact, back to our text in 1 Peter. What's he say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3? If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Are you feeding on him? Am I feeding on him? Am I feeding you correct doctrine? Am I feeding you the correct person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it somebody I've made up, or some doctrinal stand that my forefathers took and I don't really understand it? No. If you've tasted, it means you're feeding upon Christ. If we have tasted him, we will keep tasting him. We will keep feeding upon him and his word. That's just what believers do. Now, the consequences or the effect that will be for our best interest and for God's ultimate glory. And we'll close with these verses. Turn to Psalm 119. These are just beautiful. Could go on here. Psalms 119. The consequences of me feeding you properly, is more than head knowledge. We've got to understand who we believe, that there'll be a heart that beats and pants after Christ's righteousness. But am I feeding correctly, and are you feeding? Are you eating? Which is the table's being set so many times a week. Are we feeding? Psalms 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. As great as vacations are, and they're nice, one thing that Melinda and I have always agreed upon 100% is we're not here. And we will listen to some, we'll call in, we'll try to call in, or we'll listen to some CD or whatever, but it's not like being here. We miss the brethren. We miss gathering together. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Ezekiel, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. The word of God, the things which he's supposed to preach to these people. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Oh, boy. And that's why he said how beautiful are the feet that bring glad tidings to the believer. Yes, sweet. Revelations chapter 10. It doesn't always have that effect, as we'll see here, but it does. It has sweetness. Revelations chapter 10, verses 9. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me that little book, the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. Bitter. Sometimes, when we hear the word preached, it steps on our toes. He's talking about me. That's not my intentions. Truly. I hope I'm learning a little bit. But sometimes it's bitter. But it shall be in my mouth, sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. The flesh never likes what's being preached. Even now, even our flesh, it rankles. It rankles. Sometimes good, sometimes not so much. But we know that Romans 8:28 is true. But in everything, all things are working together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. May God give me the grace to feed the flock of God. And may God give you the grace to feast. Feast one with another. I know we got our plate is heavy, our plate is full. But I have a theory about that. Sometimes it's as full as we want them. Just take stuff that just just kind of pushed it out of sight. So I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna stop. I'm not gonna do this anymore. Because it's robbing me of my peace, or it's taking me away from the fellowship, or whatever it might be. Just, you know, sense, common sense. Because we have to feed. We desire to feed. And there's people who are believers, and I believe this, that they don't feed very much. And they still love Christ. But boy, you can sure tell. You can tell the struggles that they have, the same struggles all the time. They don't grow very much. You can tell. This little place where two or three are gathered together. I'd like to see this place full. But I don't want to see it full at the risk of compromising the truth, at the risk of feeding air, junk, just the pats on the shoulder. No. May God give me your pastor. Pray for me. Feed the flock as I pray for you, that we'll walk this thing together, just like Christian and hopeful, walk in the celestial city. And by the grace of God, they're going to get there. They're going to get there. Bruce, would you close us?